So, today is the day of preparation in the Advent calendar, and thinking about that, kind of wanted to stay in line with Advent. And when I think about preparation, I mean, prepare a sermon on preparation. It's kind of odd. And that got me thinking about, well, what do I do every Christmas? How do I prepare for Christmas? And the first question I asked myself when I sat down thinking about the sermon was, well, what is Christmas? I mean, for me, Christmas, honestly, when I think of Christmas, I think of pickled herring, I think of cinnamon buns, I think of turkey dinner, I think of family get-togethers. I think a lot of us, we think of all of these. We have a lot of great memories around Christmas time. Vacations, traveling, people go skiing, people do all kinds of fun things. And then, as Christina mentioned, Christmas is also a horrible time of year for a lot of people. It's lonely. It's painful. It brings out painful memories. And they cannot. I know a lot of people, and I think a lot of us in here could think of a lot of people who would just say, "I hate Christmas." And as a Christian, when I think of processing Christmas, I'm kind of disillusioned by it, and sometimes frustrated, honestly. So. All this being said, how do we as Christians prepare for Christmas? What does this season mean to us? So what are we celebrating? Unlike other world events, it's not a celebration of human achievement, but of divine accomplishment. We as Christians celebrate the reality that God sent his Son, and I'm going to quote some scriptures here, sent his Son to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. That's Luke chapter 1, verse 74, 75. And from John chapter 1, verse 12 through 13, to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Then there's John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but they will have everlasting life. And when I think of Christmas, I think of Simeon in the temple. This guy, he spent all of his life in the temple praying, fasting, waiting for the Messiah. I can't even picture a person like this. But it says in John chapter 2, verse 28 through 32, when Joseph and Mary came with their new baby, and they brought him to the temple to consecrate him, and then they made a sacrifice of two pigeons. This old man, Simeon, walks up, and it says, he took the baby in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel." Christmas, what is it? Rather, who? It is the time of year that we remember and reflect and give praise to God for our salvation, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we can't come into your presence. I can't read your word. I can't do this without acknowledging how unworthy I am, how unworthy we all are to call ourselves the children of God. I mean, you are holy. You made the earth. We ask that you have mercy on us today, that we may understand your word and understand who you are, and that today we could see who you are more clearly. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that will be changed today. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. So let's get into the passage. So it's Luke chapter 1, verse 20. We're going to start in verse 26. It says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin. I'm going to stop there. So in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, this is centuries prior, Isaiah prophesied, and he said, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. So Mary, when I was looking this up, looking in some commentaries and stuff, historians say that when women were given over in marriage, young and Israeli girls, they were, and this is argued, oh, thanks, Grandpa, around 12 or... they're around 12 or 13 years old. Some would say 14, 15. You could argue, but I don't think that's really important. The point is she's young. She's a young teenage girl who's going to be, he's getting married to a man, Joseph. It's speculated on, but typically the men were older. They were more established. Joseph was a carpenter, and they were betrothed to be married. So to be betrothed is like an engagement, but it's not like an engagement here. We can break an engagement off in today's society. You're engaged for a while, and then it doesn't work out. You don't end up getting married. To be betrothed, this is an agreement, and it carries the weight of marriage. So to break off a betrothal, it can't be done. It's either done through death, and if the man dies, the woman is considered a widow. They're not even married yet. I thought that was interesting. They could write a certificate of divorce, but it would be a big deal. But as we move forward, I want to kind of create a scene. So here's this young girl, Mary. She's, historians speculate that she was in her house or she was doing chores. She was busy. She was doing something. We can only guess what. So here's Mary. She's busy doing something. And the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. This angel met Zechariah earlier in chapter 1, and when Zechariah saw the angel, it says he was startled and gripped with fear. So there's obviously a presence with this angel, a celestial being who stands in the presence of God, appears to Mary, says, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And Mary's response, I think, is interesting. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Looking into that response is the word, it's not an English word, that was used to describe her response, but it's Mary was perplexed, she was troubled, she was confused. And why was she confused? An angel hadn't appeared, there was no recorded miraculous event in Israel at this point for over 400 years. So, you know, when I read the Bible, sure, they all talked with angels, they all did this, that, and the other thing, they were highly spiritual. No, she was like us. She hadn't seen anything miraculous. She wasn't She wasn't expecting anything like that. She was just going about her business. And here comes an angel who says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." She's troubled, she's confused. And why is she confused? I think this is an indication of Mary's humility, her genuine humility. Is me? Highly favored, the Lord with me? This doesn't make sense to Mary. This can't be right. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus," which is Yeshua, which, when translated, means Yahweh saves. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." So this is great, right? She hears this. Mary, who's betrothed to be married to Joseph, what's going through her mind at this point? If she gets pregnant, not with Joseph, who she's not allowed to get pregnant with until they've been married, she's going to be considered an adulteress. And in those days, she could be stoned to death. But, you know, this is all very quickly, and of course I'm slowing it down. She's standing in the presence of an angel. "You're highly favored. The Lord is with you. You're going to give birth to a son. He's going to be called Jesus. You know, he's going to be the Son of the Most High God." She's taking all of this in. And she says, "How will this be?" Mary asks the angel, "since I am a virgin." And Gabriel goes on to explain that nothing is impossible with God. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." And all that's going through, I'm so curious as to what was going on through Mary's mind. But Mary's response, it's an excellent response. She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. So now what does Mary do? Well, Gabriel left her a clue. Of all these things that have been said, okay, God's going to overshadow me. I'm going to get pregnant with the Son of God. All these things are going through her mind. What does this mean? What the heck's going on? I would be looking for some kind of confirmation. And that's what she does. Well, Elizabeth, there's no way Elizabeth is pregnant. So I'm going to go see Elizabeth. So off she goes. And so from where it's speculated to where Elizabeth lived and where Mary lived was about 60 miles. So that's about 96 kilometers, which is said to have been in those days a 3 to 4 day journey for a young teenage girl. Was she by herself? Who really knows? So she goes to see Elizabeth. And this is the passage that I go to every Christmas. And this is the passage that inspired me to this is why you wanted to speak on this passage today. So let's read here. "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Now, for Mary in this moment, when you read this passage, what I've always found so awesome about it and why it brings me to Christmas is you can't help but share in their joy. So to give some background on Elizabeth is Elizabeth was barren. And in those days, to be barren, to be an older woman, her husband is a priest. And it was considered like, well, why can't you have kids? If you can't have kids, God's judging you. God is punishing you for some kind of sin in your life. And that's kind of the stigma that accompanied being barren in your old age. And so often Elizabeth said, God has taken away my shame. And Elizabeth being pregnant, she's overjoyed. Her shame is taken away. But for Mary, the other thing that stands out for me in this chunk of scripture here is that Mary didn't tell Elizabeth she was pregnant. She didn't call her or text her before she left on the trip. She got in there. She enters Zechariah's house, and Elizabeth greets her. This baby in her womb jumps, and if you're a mother and you've had your baby move or kick inside your stomach, I've never had that. But it's a describing. Zoe would often, you know, take my hand and be like, I feel the baby's moving, and I'd kind of go, yeah, I think it's moving, but I couldn't really. But Zoe, of course, she can feel it. It's going on inside of her, right? And so here is Elizabeth. The baby starts jumping as soon as Mary speaks to her. But Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, the prophet in her womb, the mother of this baby prophet, she prophesied. She knew she was in the presence of the mother of the Messiah. And she was overfilled with joy. And here's Mary, who's taken this big trip. She's engaged to be married. She just got visited by an angel. I'm sure she's stressed. She's panicking. She's afraid. And she doesn't know what she's going to find when she gets to Zechariah and Elizabeth's house. But here's her old relative, pregnant, and comes over. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said will be accomplished. And I think at that time, Mary got it. I don't think it was when Gabriel visited her. I think it was when she saw Elizabeth. This is happening. The Messiah is in my womb. I am the virgin Isaiah was talking about. I think she got it. And then it goes on Mary's song. And she says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. Mary rejoices and expresses her inexpressible joy. My soul glorifies the Lord. To me, this verse says, my soul is doing what I can't. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever been overwhelmed with the goodness and faithfulness of God? So often, I think we as Christians, we try to describe what can only be experienced firsthand. But I think by the power of the Holy Spirit, Mary described it well. My soul glorifies the Lord. It's not that my soul can give God glory, but it's that my soul is giving God glory. What the heck's going on? God is using me. Now let's read the remainder of the passage. His mercy extends to those who fear him. That's verse 50. From generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So let's go back to verse 55. To Abraham and his descendants forever. Mary is referring to what God said to Abraham in the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 3. Did I write that down? No, I didn't. Okay, well, we got to look it up. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And he says, "And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." That's God's promise to Abraham. Mary gets it. This is who God was talking about. Through this child, God is going to bless all the people on earth forever. And now, let's go back to verse 32, 33. He will be great. This is in Luke chapter 1. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. And again, I want to read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 through 7. And I know you guys had this last week, but it's just very appropriate. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now there's a lot more. There is a lot more that could go into this. And all I could think about when preparing for this as I was going through this passage, well, this is a huge chunk of scripture to be going through. But why I wanted to go through all of it was to give the context of what was happening with Mary and Elizabeth. But it gives us a sense of who Jesus is. And all the overwhelming theme that I get through this, and as I've been working through the passage, and when I think about Christmas, and when I talk to God, and when I think about God, and when I try and talk to people about God, which is usually a disaster, I can't seem to describe what I have experienced. But I understand. But what overwhelms me about God is the meekness of God. And that is embodied at this time of year. Christmas embodies the meekness, humility, and the eagerness of God. So many people see God as harsh, judgmental, unkind, and self-centered. This is probably a perception of how he's been represented by humanity. But at Christmas, we see how the creator of the universe has chosen to represent himself. He wanted to come. He brought himself to humanity. He said, "Okay, I'm going to let you see me. I'm going to let you see me." And how does he come? through this young girl as a newborn infant. Universally, as human beings, what is a baby? A baby is vulnerable. A baby can die so easily. As parents, you live the first 3 to 6 months in fear. You sit there listening, is he breathing? They're so vulnerable. And that's how God came to us. How can you call a baby mighty, powerful, supreme, or just? In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 through 16, it reads, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." I don't know anyone who would argue that there is nothing in the world more vulnerable and tender than a newborn baby. But this is how God chose to reveal salvation to all of mankind. God's salvation will not reject you. Rather, today and always, Christmas reminds us of God's humble invitation to all mankind through the words of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to finish by reading Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.